kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. We get to pray twice over here. We didn't know the mic was off. Take some by your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for blessing us the way you do during this week. We had a series of trials and tribs and good times, and it made us that much closer to you. And we thank you for it. Thank you for answering our prayers in that respect, too, and giving us the strength and the peace to go through it. Thank you for blessing all those that are on our prayer list with answered prayer, especially those that are lost and those that are sick. Thank you for blessing those that help us do this work and to keep the work protected and guarded with your hedge of angels. Thank you for blessing all those that are able to make it in, and even those that try to attack. We pray that you bless them with opportunity to get into the scriptures and see what it is that we see. And thank you again for letting us be alive in these last days, blessing us with the forgiveness of sin, cleansing us from unrighteousness, and giving us the latter rain. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, as I was saying a minute ago, we may have some low numbers here, but that's okay. The people that can't get in, that didn't have a chance to register to get into the church service, can get on the radio. And then, you know, I'll get the emails after church, of course. But we had four or five people register this morning because they probably don't have my newsletter. Everybody that gets my newsletter got the notice that you have to register now. And some people don't get my newsletter don't go to the certain page on the website until Sabbath. And so they didn't know until today that they had to register. So but we didn't want to take the chance of having any more attacks. Some of the attacks or attackers have been, it's been taken care of now with this new method of, it's not just registering. There are, the Lord has blessed us with some wonderful methods by which to prevent any more problems. Okay, so we're in Ministry of Healing still, chapter 9, page 148. I take it Joshua already changed the screen. Did you do that, Joe?
No.
Okay, it's probably Josh, because he's over at Teresa's now. Yeah, I see people are falling in and out. We might fall out ourselves, too, which I hope not. If we do, I'm going to have to contact AT&T on Monday and let them know that we're not going to be able to use this DSL the way they're setting it up. It's, you know, if it's shaky, I don't want to use it. So, as I noticed last night while we were in, but then, of course, last night, Friday night, it's busy. So it's going to cause problems. DSL is a shared network. Okay, so page 148, second paragraph, where it starts off saying, in giving light to his people anciently, God did not exclusively through any one class. Let me reread this. It says, in giving light to his people anciently, God did not work exclusively through any one class. Okay. Daniel was a prince of Judah. Isaiah also was of the royal line. David was a shepherd boy. Amos a herdsman. Zechariah, a captive from Babylon. Elijah, a tiller of the soil. The Lord raised up his representatives, prophets and princes, the noble and the lowly, and taught them the truth to be given to the world. And I like the way this works out with today's message later on. It doesn't matter your lot in life. If you're a Christian, you have a job to do. It does not matter where you're standing in life, whether you got a career or whether you're looking for one. You know, whether you're young or old, it doesn't matter. To everyone who becomes a partaker of his grace, the Lord appoints a work for others. Individually, we are to stand in our lot and place, saying, here am I, send me. Like Isaiah said in Isaiah 6, verse 8. Upon the minister of the word, the missionary nurse, the Christian physician, the individual Christian, whether he be merchant or farmer, professional man or mechanic, the responsibility rests upon all. It is our work to reveal to men the gospel of their salvation. Every enterprise in which we engage should be a means to this end. And today it's not going to be easy, just like it wasn't easy in Noah's day. We were talking about this last night about in Friday night studies, And it was pretty amazing to see how Sister White was revealing some of the people were taking the message that Noah shared when he started building the ark. But as peer pressure came and everybody was ridiculing, they went along with the crowd because it was the thing to do. You know, it's just like it is today. Some people will say, well, everybody else is doing it, and they figure it's okay. And that's how the devil is able to trick people into thinking it's okay. Because most people realize deep down inside, even though it's subconsciously they realize, we're all in this together, and they feel, well, since the rest of the human race is doing it, it must be okay by God, because God's a loving God, he won't put us all in hell. They keep forgetting about what happened in Noah's day, where the grand majority did not get in that ark. This is one of the, I guess you can call it, for lack of a better word, blessings of the public school system, too. The way they go after the kids, you know, the peer pressure is insane. And the, as well as just the work, you know, the world in general. But it would be best, like the way it was originally set up with the homeschooling, for the child to get to a certain age before being put out into the world. Because with the schooling the way it is today, they're brought into the world very young. Very young. And I just heard the other, this week, Wednesday, I think it was, that one 14-year-old kid just shot up the school and killed himself. And then we read in the paper, the local paper, a kid in a Catholic school up here in Indiana, and I think in Lafayette, 11 years old, committed suicide in a Catholic school. You know, that lends me to believe is the kid was molested and it just got him to the point where he couldn't take it anymore. 11 years old. So continuing, she says, those who take up their appointed work will not only be a blessing to others, but they will themselves be blessed. The consciousness of duty well done and have a reflex influence upon their own souls. The despondent will forget their despondency, the weak will become strong, the ignorant intelligent, and all will find an unfailing helper in him who has called them. The Church of Christ is organized for service. Its watchword is ministry. Its members are soldiers. Again, this is amazing. I don't read this in advance. So, this thing about soldiers, you'll find out later what I'm talking about. But she goes, its members are soldiers to be trained for conflict under the captain of their salvation. Christian ministers, physicians, teachers have a broader work than many have recognized. They are not only to minister to the people, but to teach them to minister. They should not only give instruction in right principles, but educate their hearers to impart these principles. Truth that is not lived, that is not imparted, loses its life-giving power, its healing virtue. Its blessing can be retained only as it's shared, or as it is shared. The monotony of our service for God needs to be broken up. Every church member should be engaged in some line of service for the Master. Now I can understand. Remember last night when I was saying that I was confused as to why the Lord gave me the sermon we were talking about last night? I really didn't understand a lot. A lot of times that'll happen to me. He'll give me something to share, and I'll share it, and I'll start sharing it, and also the Holy Spirit just takes over, and then you realize what it is. And now I can see it in advance, what's going on here, because what we're talking about today has to do with the sermon in this ministry of healing. Going on, she says, some cannot do so much as others, but everyone should do his utmost to roll back the tide of disease and distress that is sweeping over our world. Many would be willing to work if they were taught how to begin. They need to be instructed and encouraged. Every church should be a training school for Christian workers. Its members should be taught how to give Bible readings, how to conduct and teach Sabbath school classes, how best to help the poor and to care for the sick, how to work for the unconverted. There should be schools of health, cooking schools, and classes in various lines of Christian health work. There should not only be teaching, but actual work under experienced instructors. Let the teachers lead the way in working among the people and others. Uniting with them will learn from their example. One example is worth more than many precepts. And that hands-on, that is the best way to learn. I mean, that's the way I always learned. It just, learning by example is just an amazing method by which to be good at what you do. But going on, let all cultivate their physical and mental powers to the utmost of their ability, that they may work for God where His providence shall call them. The same grace that came from Christ to Paul and Apollos that distinguished them for spiritual excellencies will today be imparted to devoted Christian missionaries. God desires His children to have intelligence and knowledge that with unmistakable clearness and power His glory may be revealed in our world. Educated workers who are consecrated to God can do service in a greater variety of ways and can accomplish more extensive work than can those who are uneducated. Their discipline of mind places them, and by the way, when she's talking about education here, it was the biblical method of educating. Because if you go into Sister White's writings, you'll find about the homeschooling and about how the schooling actually didn't start until the kid was what? 9, 10, something like that?
Yeah.
So like 9 or 10 years old. Let the kid be a kid. You know, let them have their fun. Because by the time they're 9 or 10, they've learned a lot already, making it that much easier for the teacher. You know, for the mom or the dad, whoever's going to be doing the teaching. Because the kid's already gotten just regular life will bring a lot of things into reality. Even reading. I mean, you can pick up reading just by being around someone who reads a lot or shares with what they're reading. Just by example. Going on, their discipline of mind places them on vantage ground. But those who have neither great talents nor extensive education may minister acceptably to others. God will use men who are willing to be used. Like what we were talking about last week with the talents. You might only have one, but if you use that talent to the best of your ability, the Lord will see that and He'll give you another one. Because He knows you're running with the first one, which means you're going to run with the second one. Going on, it is not the most brilliant or the most talented persons whose work produces the greatest and most lasting results. Men and women are needed who have heard a message from heaven. The most effective workers are those who respond to the invitation. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. It is heart missionaries that are needed. In other words, these are people that do it as a calling. They do it because it's what their heart burns inside their bodies to do. It's not like the grand majority of the preachers today are doing it for a career. You know, I got a wife and kids to take care of, so I better go out there and learn how to preach or something. You know, I mean, that's what all the seminaries do. The TV preachers, they're all preaching for money. That's all they do is they talk about prosperity and how if you donate to their ministry, the Lord will bless you. Going on, it says, he whose heart God touches is filled with a great longing for those who have never known His love. Their condition impresses him with a sense of personal woe. Taking his life in his hand, he goes forth, a heaven-sent, heaven-inspired messenger, to do a work in which angels can cooperate. Talk about friends in high places. No one down here on the planet can say such a thing and really know what they're talking about. Because I knew when I was growing up, we had people that would have, as the saying goes, friends in high places. And even friends in low places, if you know what I mean. To get certain jobs done. But having friends in heavenly places, you can't match that. There's just no way. You know, heaven, the Almighty Creator as your employer. Not only as your Creator, but as the one who is having you do what you're doing. It just makes it that much easier and amazing, too. Even when the trials come, because you're going to get them. Especially if you're effective, the devil's going to attack. And that's, you know, it's a blessing, knowing that you must be doing something good to get his blood up. So continuing, it says, if those to whom God has entrusted great talents of intellect put these gifts to a selfish use, they will be left, after a period of trial, to follow their own way. Because even then, he still loves them too. He gives them an opportunity to turn around. So after a period of trial, you know, to see what they're going to do with what they've got. And sadly, the majority of the people in today's world decide to continue on for self. God will take men who do not appear to be so richly endowed, who have not large self-confidence, and he will make the weak strong, because they trust in him to do for them that which they cannot do for themselves. Reminds me of day one, the first time I ever got up on a pulpit. I was so scared. But I knew, if you're calling me to be up here, you got me up here for a reason. You want me to share with my experiences, just like with the demoniacs that were over, like when Jesus got off the boat that one day and they came up. He left them there behind. And they had a ministry, and they took care of bringing the truth to all those people in that city where the swine were drowned. She goes on to say that God will accept the wholehearted service and will himself make up the deficiencies. So don't worry about it. If you don't think you can do it, it's because you're not supposed to in certain areas. But if you don't think you can do it, and he's asking you to do it, you better do it, because he's given you that which you need to do it. The Lord has often chosen his collaborators, for his collaborators, men who have had opportunity to obtain but a limited school education. These men have applied their powers most diligently, and the Lord has rewarded their fidelity to his work, their industry, their thirst for knowledge. He has witnessed their tears and heard their prayers. As his blessing came to the captains in the courts of Babylon, so does he give wisdom and knowledge to his workers today. You know who this reminds me of? Pastor Russ. Remember when he said he didn't even know how to read? And he was, and this is, it's a good testimony, because he's shared this testimony many times on the pulpit. He was working for 18th, well, Illinois Bell, it was called back then. He was working for them for years, didn't even know how to read. And when he became a Christian, he felt the urge to preach, and he didn't know how to read the Bible, and he asked the Lord to teach him how to read. And somehow, some way, he ended up learning how to read that Bible, because no one helped him. I don't know how he did that. Obviously, the Lord took care. Yeah, to mouth out the words and figure it all out. It's, and so that's what I'm talking, you know, where I got reminded is where she's saying that the Lord often will choose people to work for him that have limited school education. And you think of John the Baptist, too. It's just like when I was in sales, they would prefer that you never sold their product, whether it's insurance, cars, vacuum cleaners, fine china, whatever the case may be. I mean, I sold it all. And they always prefer that you have never sold their product before, because when you come in, you won't have a preset idea as how you used to do it in your old job. They want a clean slate. And a lot of times the Lord will use people like this because they're easier to mold, because a lot of people have a hard time unlearning stuff. And it's their own flesh doing it. But the Lord still uses them too. There are educated people on pulpits. But more often than not, it seems what she's saying here is the Lord is going after those that aren't as so highly educated as others. Remember, in the last days, the Lord will use, what is that verse? And not only the meek shall inherit the earth, but the Lord will have people sharing the truth that were never expected to be sharing it before. You know, you got all these high-educated guys on the pulpit speaking, and they're not really doing anything. And you got these guys coming out of the woods or just coming out of poor neighborhoods, and powerful messages are coming forth, and thousands are getting saved. This is what we're about to be seeing in our day. Okay, page 151. Men deficient in school education, lowly in social position, have, through the grace of Christ, sometimes been wonderfully successful in winning souls for him. The secret of their success was their confidence in God. Case in point, Ellen White herself, third grade education. That in itself is enough. Third grade education, but yet you can see somebody's $20 words here. And who gave her the $20 words? She goes on to say that they learn daily of him who is wonderful in counsel and mighty in power. Such workers are to be encouraged. The Lord brings them into connection with those of more marked ability to fill up the gaps that others leave. And this is kind of this is exactly what happened with Sister White. When she was sick, there was another guy that was called to do the work, and he didn't do it. He was afraid to do it, I guess. And so she stepped in as the Lord asked her to at that young age. And look what happened. He blessed her immensely. And by the way, there was scuttlebutt last night that the Seventh-day Adventist Church has trademarked the name Ellen White, E.G.W., E.G. White, Did you know that? Mm-hmm. They started doing that back in the year 2000. And even something way back in 1989, too, if I recall. They did something in 1989. It was to try and stop the people that have those websites out there or those anti-Ellen White ministries to stop using her name. But it didn't work. And even if they try and stop us from using her writings, okay, fine, don't use her name. You can still use the title of the book. Are they going to copyright all the titles of those books that she wrote? You know, instead of saying Ellen White wrote this, just say, well, we found this in Testimonies of Ministers, page 92. And if they go so much, I mean, you could even go and quote, okay, this is from Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 2, because they didn't copyright the words Spirit of Prophecy. I don't think you can. And I don't even know how they can copyright her name anyway. Because from what I understand, if you're dead 50 years, all your work can be used. It's all considered public domain. So how can they do that?
Even a library is public domain.
Yeah. Anyway, continuing. Let me backtrack a little bit here, because this is important. The Lord brings them into connection with those of more marked ability to fill up the gaps that others leave. In other words, the people that aren't educated in the world's standards. Okay? When she's talking about here, like with the world's standards of education, because we know that does not come anywhere near God's standard of education. I'm living proof of that, as well as many preachers out there that never went to any seminaries. And then even John the Baptist, the ultimate, or Ellen White herself. You know, no structured education from man, but all sorts of education from God. It's a lot easier to learn if you live it. Continuing, it says, their quickness to see what is to be done, their readiness to help those in need, their kind words and deeds open doors of usefulness that otherwise would remain closed. They come close to those in trouble, and the persuasive influence of their words has power to draw many trembling souls to God. Their work shows what thousands of others might do if they only would. And we'll stop here because it's starting off with a new topic, a broader life. We'll pick it up here next week. Be back in a minute.
All right, hit Paul Power 2 times.